Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
How can God be loving and compassionate and kind and also just and holy and full of wrath? How do those go together? If you want to see how they go together, what that looks like, just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus, what he's like. He's riding into Jerusalem, wailing in sorrow. You tell me, if there's no wrath to come, what is there for him to weep about? If the punishment is no big deal, what is there for him to weep about? And if there's no love in his heart, why is he weeping instead of laughing over the destruction of his enemies? See, they meet. The nature of the Lord Jesus Christ goes to the infinite extreme of holiness and wrath and justice, and it goes to the infinite extreme of love and kindness and compassion. And those two extremes meet, and the intersection of those two extremes meeting in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ causes him to ride a colt into Jerusalem, waving a flag of peace, but warning against coming wrath. Please notice what Jesus offers them. This is what Jesus came in his first coming to offer. Verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. That's what he came to offer. The phrase translated, what would bring you peace? That's the same phrase a few chapters earlier in Luke 14:32, when Jesus tells a story, a parable about a king who is, he's got his army, he's approaching another army, and he sees that other army. He's like, wow, I can't handle this. I can't win this battle. This is no good. I better just send a delegation to seek terms of peace. That's the same phrase, identical phrase. See, before the day of wrath arrives, in the first coming of Jesus, he came to offer terms of peace to rebellious mankind. The picture here is Jesus approaching Jerusalem. He's like a king who is coming to a rebellious city, a hotbed of rebellious resistance against his rightful authority. And instead of just wiping them out like any king would do, he offers them all total amnesty. Full pardon for everyone there if they just would agree to his terms of peace. They just lay down their weapons and agree to the terms of peace. You say, what are the terms? What are the terms? Well, can we agree on this? The terms are whatever the king says they are. This is not a debate. It's not a discussion. It's not a vote. We are the guilty rebels. He is the merciful king. He dictates the terms. And what has he dictated? What are the terms of peace? Well, he demands that you give up something that is absolutely worthless and exchange it for something that is absolutely priceless. Those are the terms. Okay? That's the gospel. The worthless thing that he's requiring you to give up is the car keys of your own life. Calling your own shots. Independence from God. That is something that is utterly worthless, running your life, it's worthless, but it seems precious to us. It seems so precious that there are people who would rather die than give that up. There are people who would rather go to hell than give that up. They would rather die than submit to God's commands because they just love being the captain of their own ship, or at least pretending they are. Of course, they're not. They're not in control of anything, but at least it seems like they are. And that's worthless. That is worthless. My life, with me at the helm, with me in the driver's seat, is worthless. The places I drive this car are not going to bring me any ultimate happiness or fulfillment. They're not going to honor God, which means my life will be utterly worthless, wasted, no ultimate value. Me hanging on to the car keys of my life, me wanting to control my own life, that's my weapon of seditious rebellion against God that I need to lay down. He created me. My life belongs to Him. Then He purchased it. It belongs to Him again. It's His, not mine. If I live my life for myself, for my own preferences instead of His, then that I'm stealing from the King and I'm committing treason. So the terms of peace for me is to lay down my weapons of rebellion, my own self-determination, to let go of that worthless thing and exchange that for something that is absolutely priceless, namely favor from God. And not just a little bit of favor, the very favor that he has for his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That much favor. That means everything Jesus gets, I get, because I am connected to Jesus. Every bit of affection God has for Jesus, he has for me. That means all my sins, every one of them, forgiven, forever, forgotten. And Jesus' perfect life is credited to my account. Those are the terms. That's the exchange. You say, well, that sounds like a good deal. How does that exchange made? What do I have to do? Believe. It's just through faith. If I just simply trust Jesus Christ so much that I trust him more than I trust myself, I trust his way so much that I'm willing to place my whole existence into his hands, put myself at his disposal, let him call the shots in my life instead of me calling the shots. If I trust him like a guide, so I follow him, so that I read his Bible, when I read his word, I don't judge it based on, well, you know, maybe I'll see if I agree with this, but rather if it says it, I believe it. It's God's word. It's truth. Just because it says it there. If I approach his word that way, if I trust him that way, then I will no longer be his enemy. Instead, I will be at peace with God. I'll close with this. There's nothing more certain than judgment day. It's going to happen. Not believing in it won't make it go away. It's going to happen. The only thing that's not decided yet is whether you will be on that day a servant or a subject. And if you're a servant, what kind of servant? If you're not living your life for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, take this sermon as yet another instance of his compassion and patience and love for you, giving you yet another chance to get your name written in the book of life and escape the judgment before it's too late. And if you are a servant and you're a faithful servant, you will be richly rewarded for what you have done in this life with the resources entrusted to you. But if you're not a faithful servant, if your mina is just somewhere off to the side collecting dust, take warning. And if you are exempt from the wrath to come and you're a faithful servant, let me ask you this. What is your attitude toward the people around you who are lost, who are rocketing towards judgment day without Christ? Is there enough compassion in your heart? Is there enough Jesus-like compassion in your heart to urgently warn them and tell them about the terms of peace? I tell you, preaching this sermon, I mean, studying for this sermon this past couple of weeks, it's just changed the way I've been looking at people. I go to the drive-thru at McDonald's, I see the girl giving me my change, and I just picture her standing on Judgment Day without Christ. And it's just a heartbreaking thing. It just makes me want to tell everybody the terms of peace. God, give us compassion like the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these terms of peace. We would be so utterly lost if you had not provided salvation for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for granting us forgiveness. Lord, give us compassionate hearts for the lost, like Jesus demonstrated on Palm Sunday. Let our hearts break. Lord, when you go out and hand out those invitations today, let our hearts break for the people we see. And we pray for mercy for them, that they would become servants and be exempted from judgment. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The nobleman in the parable gave minas to his servants and told them to put them to work until he returned. What are some minas, resources, that the Lord has given you to use for his purposes until he returns? What are they? Take a few minutes. Just hit pause. Take a few minutes and think. What are the minas and are you using them? What are you doing to get a return on those resources? This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to hear the full-length version of today's message, you can find that on treasuringgod.com, or just get our free Food for Your Soul sermon app. And if you find this podcast helpful, you can help other people find it by sharing a link on social media, giving us a rating or review on iTunes, or, best of all, tell a friend about us. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God.